Baltimore Sun columnist Mike Preston joins us here on The Fan. Did you have this news for the Monday morning quarterback?
Hey, man. You know, you had heard a little bit about it at the end of the show at 10.
Uh-huh.
But there was no way I was thinking it was going to happen because it's not part of the Ravens' M.O. I mean, you know Ozzie.
Sure.
He doesn't do anything like this.
So do you think it's not Ozzie?
Yeah, it's not something Ozzie does. Steve Bisciotti, he's more prone to do something like this, but they usually talk him down off the cliff.
Yeah.
So I was definitely surprised and shocked. But I understand.
Sure. And here's my thinking. I think it reeks a little bit of panic when you're in first place, even though the bus is sliding down the hill a little bit right now. But maybe those on the inside just felt that whatever kind of disconnect there might be between coordinator, coach, offense, whatever, that maybe now was the time to try to bring your quarterback back, whatever it would take to get this offense that's been so inconsistent all year ready, because they're going to have to score points these next couple of weeks with that defense out there, Mike. You know that.
Right. You know what? I think if you go back to the Pittsburgh game, the last one, and, you know, Ray Rice doesn't touch the ball. He has the 34-yard touchdown run. He has the 10-yard run. And then the 10-yard run came with 1:53 left in the third quarter, and he doesn't touch the ball in the fourth. You cannot defend that. There's just nothing that John Harbaugh or Cam Cameron can say that defends that at all. And then you go out there yesterday, and I heard they had some disagreements over play calling at the end of the half. They had some over play calling at the end of the game and over pass protection for Joe, that John wanted one thing, Cam wanted another, got a little heated, got carried over into the locker room. And afterwards, you know, I can imagine that Steve Bisciotti watched the game, and knowing him that like I do, probably
he was there. Yeah,
probably called in and said, "Hey, what happened?" And then maybe John at this point said, "Hey, this is what went on." And they just said, "Hey, all right, if he can't take orders, then it's not like we're doing that well anyway. We already gave him an opportunity. Let's get rid of him and move on." And I think that's what they did.
Brian Billick got a huge extension before he got sent out. Didn't Cam get an extra year or something last year? Is he on the books,
Scott,
for another year?
Anytime you get an extra year from Steve Bisciotti, run like hell.
The clock's ticking, right?
Just get the hell out of town because you're going to get fired.
I could see Steve Bisciotti saying, "Well, if Cam can't take orders, let's hope you can," and fire Cam to Harbaugh. Mike, you've watched this team. You've covered them for so long. Can you put blame singular on one person, one group, offensive line, quarterback, play calling? I mean, who gets the most blame if you can't put it on one?
Well, the offensive coordinator gets the most blame. You look at the offense. There wasn't any sophistication to the passing offense. You didn't see a lot of rubs. You didn't see a lot of formations. They didn't utilize the middle of the field quite often. You look at the running game. Basic stretch plays, but you didn't see a lot of traps, just a different variety of things to kickstart this offense. Every year, after the first season where they tried to turn this into a pass-happy offense, it never worked. So their offense became a product of failure, where they had to go back to just running the ball again. I mean, they just had to, because that's all they could count on. Well, when you see that happen, you know, you can blame it on the offensive coordinator, but you also have to look at the front office. Well, look at your tackles that you gave us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Michael Ward, who's out of position, probably playing on the left side. You got a rookie over there who really wants to play left guard on the right side. You didn't give us a left guard in your centers is as old as Moses. Okay?
Yeah.
And then look at the quarterback you gave him. Okay? First round pick, but I mean, we can all come to the conclusion that Joe has no pocket awareness. He's inconsistent. He came out of the University of Delaware. So this is what you gave Cam. So in a way, he's being made a scapegoat. But remember this, guys. Once you start getting rid of your coordinators, you leave yourself open.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you can point fingers, and Cam's the buffer. He's the sponge. But next, John, you're in line. You're the next guy up. You're the next man up.
Hey, Mike, I don't care if it's Sid Gilman or Don Coryell running this offense. is it good enough to cover up the deficiencies with that beat-up defense? Because as you start taking on quality teams now down the stretch, and if you make the playoffs, can this defense hold up?
No, not under the present condition. I mean, Scott, they had guys, linebackers out there yesterday. I'm looking on the roster.
Josh Bynes, and yeah.
And I know this team pretty well. I'm like, who the hell is this guy?
right.
Where are they getting this guy from? And, you know, I hear people saying, well, you know, DP's doesn't know what he's doing. You're not going to go out here and dazzle people with some of these guys. I mean, They're down to their number four or five corners. Those linebackers were terrible yesterday, but it's not like they got left.
Yeah, right.
And then you look on the offense, Cam actually called a pretty good game yesterday. I mean, Joe had two turnovers that really hurt, but they really weren't a product of his play calling. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got a lead. They ran the ball well. You know, it's just that, hey, Joe gets hit. He throws the pick at the 11, but he admitted it was his fault. And then the other, when they have the other turnover, I think they got caught at the, like, 40, 49-yard line. But other than that, you know, that running game was starting to click.
Oh, yeah, 5.3 a carry for the whole game. Yeah,
yeah, and that's what you want, especially this late in the season. But he got canned for that. You know, so it tells you, when you make a change like this, there was something that went on in the last two games, or at least yesterday, that made them pull the trigger on this.
Now, you talking to Mike Preston here on the Scott Garceau Show, you talked about disagreements before the half or play calling. I want to get, first off, your take at the end of the game. Would you have taken a knee and just went to overtime, or with the 29 seconds left, at least taken a shot? And then also, you know, part of me, and maybe I'm wrong because I see this with so many different teams in the league, I don't understand when you're at midfield or beyond and you're trying to draw them offside and you know you're going to punt, why do you waste the time out there and not take a 5-yard penalty? I mean, what's better, to have that time out in your pocket or five more yards?
Bad call. I mean, you're there, you just back it up and take the penalty, and that's it. You don't give up a timeout. As far as Joe at the end of the game, you know, if this was Joe Flacco at the beginning of the year, where he's hot and he's playing extremely well, let's go. Let's hit your ride on Joe and let's see what we can get. But in the last two games, his turnovers have been very costly. You don't want to play that hard, and then in the last 20 seconds, where your offensive line is playing so poorly, he gets stripped of the ball again, and they kick a quick field goal, and you lose. I understand what was going on. If they had been playing well offensively, you give them a shot, but they had no rhythm.
Well, and Mike, let's not forget, that also happened in the San Diego game, before the 4th and 29, that's what turned into the 4th and 29, when Michael Orr covers up the fumble. I mean, that could have been
three
weeks in a row.
Yeah, so, you know, the Ravens, they are what we thought they are, if you know what I mean.
Right.
You know, we watched them play. We never thought they were really a great team, but they had some luck on their side, divine intervention, the whole bit. It was working for them. But you never, ever walked away and say, this is a really good football team, despite the record. And now you watch them play, they're playing some teams that are starting to, that are better, and you're going to see a lot of the holes show up. And Danelle Ellerbe, huge loss for this team. Darius Webb, when you play those good teams, those losses show up. You can get away with it against some of the other ones, like a Cleveland, a Kansas City, but when you play the good teams, the horses that you miss, they show up in the final score.
Baltimore Sun columnist Mike Preston with us on The Fan. Mike, this will be a question that will be kicked around a lot in the offseason, but I'll pose it now. Do you think what happens from here on out this season will determine Joe Flacco's future with the team? I mean, they didn't sign him last year. They bought themselves another year, or is it your opinion? You know, I think we've heard Steve Bisciotti say it. Joe's our guy. Is he their guy?
I think Joe's their guy if no one steps up. I think they put the tag on him.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone makes a bid and they can get some draft picks for Joe, I think they'll do it, because he's not a franchise-caliber quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he's not a franchise-caliber quarterback. And if you find a team that wants to overspend and you can get some draft picks, which they love, is getting draft picks, I think they'll do the deal. But I'm not sure anybody's going to step up and pay that kind of money.
Yeah.
For Joe. And just remember, you know, when you're coming out of that rookie contract, when you're good, they usually sign you up before the end of your final year. That kind of tells you they weren't so mean, sure. I'm not buying all of that. He's their guy. He's their quarterback of the future crap. I've heard that before. Not buying it.
What I do say to that on the other side of that is, for all the good things this franchise has done, they've kind of stumbled looking for quarterbacks, and they're going into that if it's not Joe and you're picking somewhere in the 20s every year, you're kind of in that unknown territory again. Where do you find that guy that's better, right?
Well, you're tough, but hey, look at the Redskins and this guy Cousins.
They might have two, yeah.
Where did he come from? He's a fourth round pick from what? Michigan State,
yeah.
How about San Francisco and their quarterback?
Kaepernick, yeah.
Where did this guy come from? Mm-hmm. They're out there. The Ravens just need to do a better job of evaluating and finding these quarterbacks, because these other guys, Philadelphia, they have two or three quarterbacks that are pretty decent.
We don't have to go through Scott Mitchell, Stoney Case, Anthony Mitchell, Jeff Blake again, do we? I'm getting too old for that, Mike, and you are too.
You know, remember Scott, Tony, Baloney, Phony, they just kept bringing them all in at one time.
Oh, God.
And the odd thing, the Redskins were criticized for taking Kirk Cousins because they only had so many draft picks and they needed help. And I think Cousins was looked at a lot like Andy Dalton was the year before, not drafted as high, of course, but there were a lot of teams that were high on him. And the Redskins, with their second pick in the draft, decided to take him and saying, maybe we build him up and then trade him down the line, almost i.e. like a Matt Schaub when he's with Atlanta, or even you could say Flynn with Green Bay. Sometimes the trades don't work out, but you know what I mean? It was very ballsy by them to make that pick.
Well, RG3 is a rookie, so you're coming in and saying, hey, we're going to put this guy in the spot, and we're going to run some option with him. We better have another quarterback in place.
Yeah.
And they went out and found the guy. I don't know if he's the answer, but I tell you what, to step in the situation he stepped in yesterday and to deliver, that was pretty impressive. And to just to run that draw play up the middle.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll take that. I was impressed by the kid.
Mike, thanks for your time on a busy day. Read all about it in the Baltimore Sun, right?
All righty. Thanks, guys. Okay. Appreciate it.